from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Red Sox are in trouble. How you doing? It's KJ Carson. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out on your Sunday. Red Sox lose 7-5. They get swept. And oh, hell, I mean, they're from Arizona. Nobody in Arizona really has vacuum cleaners. Everything is because all that dust and everything. So might as well have brought the brooms. Jeez. Here's the issue that I see moving forward as the Red Sox are now five games out of the final wild card spot. And depending on what the Twins do and what happens with the Royals game. Now, if there's anything beneficial right now, the Twins are losing, but it's only 2-1. The Royals are winning 6-3 right now. Both games around the 8th, 9th inning. I'll get you up to speed with that. So if one of those two teams lose, it benefits the Red Sox. The Twins come back and the Kansas City Royals continue on. Oh, bro, do I go get my bugle and start playing funeral music? So look, Tanner Houck. So let's go back to the very beginning of the game where Tanner Houck gets kind of saved, but the line drive, double play, that ends the first. So you're like, okay, two good things happen right there. One, Tanner Houck's pitch count didn't end up getting higher than it could have because that was a seed that McCarthy hit, doubling off Carroll at first. So you like, okay, he doesn't have to throw a lot of pitches. Then Cassis goes yard. Here's the call.
Cassis in no hurry to get back into the batter's box after the foul pop. Here's a 2-2, and he hits one high and deep to right center field. This is crushed back by the bullpen, and this ball is long gone, and it's into the bleachers. A long home run for Tristan Casas. He got it all.
You feeling
good? And made the catch up in the bleachers, and the Red Sox lead 1-0, number 8 for Casas in his 15th RBI.
So what's happening is the Red Sox are hitting the ball solid. The ball gets out of the park. Casas hits an absolute just monster shot. And you feel like, hey, the Red Sox could continue to probably get this momentum. They're getting some good contact. Then you get to the third inning, and you're like, okay, people are getting on to base. Is this one-run lead? And what do you know? Another double play gets them out of the third. And I think what helped today, at least for Houck early on, I'm just kind of painting the story of how we got to a game that was swept. is a lot of the calls by the home plate umpire, he was calling a lot of low strikes. So that was forcing batters to say, okay, things that are slightly off the plate, I have to go after them. And I think that's what helped with getting all these double plays and ground balls for Houck. They turned three double plays in the first four innings. You're like, wow, defense, you got solid pitching. Maybe they could save this final game of the day. Celebration still feels good because Raffy goes deep. Here it is.
1-1. Here it is. Swing and a drive. High and deep into center field. It's back at the wall. It is gone! Number 200 for Devers. It's a three-run blast. And it is 4-0 Red Sox.
Feeling really good. Congratulations, Raffy's hit 200. Very emotional hug after that home run in the dugout. You're like, okay, 4-0. Three double plays already. I know you feel tight in the chest. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Casas and Abreu, been on a base a couple of times during the game in tandem. They come home. They're up 4-0. I mean, things are going so well that Massa on the next play is trying to go for his inner Jaren Duran and get a triple, but he's thrown out at third. But still, you feel like, you know what? This team is on to something. Wong hits a shot off the wall, to the wall. They're just hammering Zach Kelly before Zach Kelly even gets the 60 pitches. Zach Merrill. Sorry. Merrill Kelly. I'm sorry. I get my Kellys mixed up sometimes. So I think I maybe I think what it is, I want a Kelly sandwich. Nice roast position. Anyway. So look, at this point you're like, Hauk is at less than 50 pitches. It's the start of the fifth inning. Then the bases get loaded, and he's at 61 pitches. There's no outs. This right here, I think, is the play of the game, and we only play scoring pieces here. Ground ball to first to Casas. What I think is a gingerly toss to first to get the out instead of trying to make the play at home. Now, you may say, well, you get the sure out or anything. Look, you have no outs. You have no outs. So gingerly walking over to grab one out felt like, you really think this team and its bullpen can hold a 4-0 lead at this point that you could just give up one? I was a bit baffled. 617-779-7937, text line 37937, KJ Red Sox Review. And I'm going to continue the story because it gets juicier. Jay and Whitman, thanks so much for calling. You're on WEEI Red Sox Review. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks. And no problem. I'll continue the story. You know how it ends. But go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah, so, you know, there's no reason the Red Sox should have lost this game. It starts with poor fundamentals. It just kills this team. So you got Yoshida, he gets thrown out by a mile trying to stretch a double into a triple. Next batter gets a base hit, which would have scored him. But I think the biggest inning as far as fundamentals go was just the massive mistakes in the fifth inning. So one was Tristan Casas, bases loaded, no outs, ground ball right to him at first base, and he doesn't even look to throw home. the catcher was running at third base. You need to know who was running as a defender. This would have also kept the bases loaded with one out, would have kept the double play possibility alive. Next batter, you got second and third with one out, fly ball to Tyler O'Neill in left field. Ball was hit a mile high, plenty of time for Tyler O'Neill to get behind the baseball and work his way through it and get some momentum on his throw to home. And he doesn't do that. And to top it off, he air mills the ball to home plate, which allowed the runner at second base to tag to third base due to the awful throw. You know, once he realizes he has no momentum, that ball needs to be thrown into third base. And then the next batter hits a hard single to left, and the run scores from third base. The run never would have scored if he was at second base. Yep, because of how hard it was hit.
Go ahead, Jay. Finish your thought.
Well, I was going to say the biggest problem of them all with this team is the amount that this offense strikes out. They have the third most strikeouts in the MLB. They average almost 10 strikeouts per game. They have some games where they strike out 13, 14, 15 times. It's pathetic, and it's a direct result of having no two-strike approach at the plate. And when I say two-strike approach, I'm referring to choking up on the bat, shorting up, not trying to do too much at the plate, get a little closer to the plate to take away the inside corner and to help expand the outside corner an inch or two off the plate, move up a little in the box to help handle the off-speed a little better. You compare that to a team like Arizona, who strikes out the seventh least amount in the league. They put the ball in play with two strikes, the number one in on-base percentage, number two in average in OPS. They walk the fourth most in the league.
All right, Jay, you're going into computer mode. I need your blood pressure to come down a little bit. Jay was really good when we were at story time. Then it became like cyborg time. Yeah, look, let's be honest. In Major League Baseball, not too many guys choke up on the bat. It's a bit of an ego thing. They feel like the coach is telling them in their ear. But he's absolutely right. He did finish kind of story time of the fundamentals started to fall apart, and I thought it simply started with Tristan Casas not even attempting to make a play at the plate where you still had a chance to get the second. You still had a chance to get the double play on what would have been a 3-2-3 double play, right? But that didn't happen. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Oh, today's story time continues with this game because it just gets uglier. Liam in Portsmouth, thanks so much for calling WEEI. You're on Red Sox Review.
What's going on, KJ? I called in yesterday. I'm back today. I'm on my way back from the game. I think we got to talk about O'Neill. We know about the pitching now. It's always a catch-22. Do we leave our starter in and wait for the bullpen to blow it, or do we take the starter out a little, you know, later?
We've got the Little League bats coming up here to tell the story. Continue.
Exactly. Well, O'Neill is doing more harm for us than good. We sit there and we watch him strike out, just to wait for that one home run. He's not making contact with the ball. He's hurting us in many situations. It's at the point where we, you know, look at Ref Snyder, man. Ref Snyder is a better defender. You got O'Neill doing, you know, somersaults in the outfield when he throws balls. He misses the cutoff, man. He's throwing off the mark completely. And Ref Snyder is making contact more often than not. I think he's a more solid hitter. Yeah, he doesn't have the same pop O'Neill does when he makes contact, but he still has it.
William, thanks for the call. Yeah, I appreciate the call. Here's the crazy thing about Tyler O'Neill is he's gone further in his race than Adam Duvall went in his race last year when he was with the team. So there's always kind of this appreciation what Tyler O'Neill has provided because there's no Trevor Story. Like, Casas is just coming back. Though he looks good, Casas was gone longer than he was here. Like, to put it in perspective, when Casas left, his 6 home runs, I think he was like 4th in Major League Baseball at the time. That's how long ago that was. So who else is there really around that scares you with any type of power after Devers when these other guys were out? So I'm going to at least take my hat off to Tyler O'Neill that here we are at near the end of August talking about he's still in the lineup where the question was, you know, he's one of those acquisitions where it's like, if he can get back to his fill-in-the-blank year, then you could get a whole lot out of him. And I think you've gotten more than you've expected, and it's happened longer. Yet defensively, it doesn't feel as good. And let's be, Yoshida had problems with left field. That's why he's not out there. Tyler O'Neill has struggled sometimes out there with left field. Okay, I can't remember which game it was, but literally it was the balance of the game was right there, and it was a misjudged ball that happened to go right at the wall, which could have been a playable ball. So, yes, those things are going to happen, but I think we do still have to remember that there's nobody else behind Devers who's providing you pop. I mean, thankfully, Abreu has come through with something in consistency where you could say, okay, he's now the guy in the two-hole, but there's a part of me that would love to see a Duran-Hamilton combination where you don't have to have Hamilton at the 9. Like, if you get those two at the front, you've got 60 stolen bases right there on the base paths, and some of the double stealing that you saw earlier in the season was when you had Hamilton in that spot. Yeah, I know he's about a 250 hitter, but I ask yourself, what have the previous second baseman's average been over the last season and a half? 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJ here on Red Sox Review. Still to come, Alex Cora. Let's go to Paul in Westfield. Paul, thank you so much for the call. Good afternoon.
Good evening, KJ. It's been a while. How are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
I mean, you might say, what could possibly have good to say after a 3-day smackdown with a team that my idiot brother said 13? It's 32-13 they were since the July All-Star break at 3. 35 wins. This looks like the hottest team in baseball. And you said they're very astute, the doubles, the defense today. Duran, the 11th player to get to 200 homers. And I guess he got the 62 doubles at 25 faster than everybody in baseball, except Ted Williams, you know, Rafi pulls the cat out of the hat and the rabbit out of the hat. There's some decent moments in this, and this is an awesome team. We have an issue at home. The question is this, is there's about 5 weeks left and how many games? Get over this and go after the rest of the teams and see how they handle the last 4 to 5 weeks, because a lot can happen then. It's not what happened today. It's what happens in the next 20, 30 days that we have time to maybe get in there with what belongs. And think, this team made it last year at the wild card. They look sick. And they don't have their two best defensive players and their catcher. Imagine at full strength what they're capable of. They really look wicked. You got to give them credit.
Okay, thanks so much for the call, Paul. I totally agree that the Diamondbacks are the hottest team in baseball. Going into the fifth inning, the Red Sox were about to end whatever. They were about to end a losing streak. If you were here with me Friday night, I was saying this about the Red Sox in the bullpen, and Zach, have this ready. It feels like I'm watching games in Williamsport for the Little League World Series. You get the aluminum bat there? Yeah, when they start getting those shots at the top of the sixth inning and things fall apart, that's what's happening. It seems like these opponents are coming out with the aluminum bats. And so if you look at literally how it broke down today, at the top of the fifth inning, Arizona scores three. So 4-3 game. This is what we were talking about, right? Top of the sixth, where in Little League you're like, okay, kids, we all get oranges and submarines if we just hold the top of the inning. We won't even have to bat in the bottom of it. What happens at the top of the sixth? Arizona scores another three. Six runs in two innings. In Williamsport, this would have families crying. Here, this is what I was saying about the top of the fifth. Does the complexity of the game change if Casas makes that attempt and throws to home? And then you get the double play going back to first, and now you've got two outs. So if you're dealing with two outs and men on second and third, you don't have to worry about you ground ball gets you out of the inning. You're probably playing the defense back a little bit. You're playing to get the single out. I just think about this. Just by just touching first, now you had second and third. Now the double play isn't even in effect after a bases loaded situation. Like, and that's how you get to, like, that's just bad fundamentals. If you were telling me, hey, it's going to be too close of a play throwing it to second and you can't get the guy at first, or you can't get the ball correctly to second, yes, don't make that error. But the catcher's got all the equipment in the world. He's got the biggest glove next to you at first. And you don't even go, you just tap first, like Trevor Hoffman's going to be coming in the game in a couple of minutes. Like, no. And this has been kind of the concern. I've had this conversation with John Lyons, and sometimes I've tried to defend the team that, okay, you know, like, look, you want Kike Hernandez back out there at short and fill in the blank, whoever at second, it's a little bit better than that. But then you're almost saying, like, the awareness of the game and what's happening in the situation, is the mind there? 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Remember, still to come, we'll hear from Alex Cora. Let's go to Wally. Wally, thank you so much for calling Red Sox Review on WEEI. Hello, Wally.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, can I talk to KJ?
This is he.
Oh, how you doing, KJ?
Great. What's your thoughts on today's game, my man?
Not very good. Like I said, it's hard to... Arizona is just a better team than the Red Sox. I mean, you've got too many left-handed in the lineup. You can't get distance out of your starters. You don't have an ace. It's a very left-handed lineup. I expect that to change drastically next year. But as far as the relief pitching, it is what it is. It's hard to get guys to come, you know. If you're going to use three guys, it's hard to have all three of them pitch perfect in it. Somebody's bound to have a bump in the road.
Wally, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate your call as always. So you've heard me tell the story of what's gone through the first five innings. Next, we'll hear from Alex Cora, and I almost never get on Alex Cora, but literally as I was taking notes in the game, what I wrote down didn't happen, and it led to the rest of the disaster after the fifth inning. That's next here on WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Thank you so much for hanging out.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
WEEI Red Sox Review. This is KJ. Thank you so much for being here for your Sunday. The Red Sox lose 7-5. That's the Suarez 3-run homer. That will be the narrative of the story that I get to hear shortly of how it got worse and the issues I had with Alex Cora, and that's the result that you got. It literally was in my notes. We'll hear from Alex Cora in about 3 minutes here. Let's go to Bob. Bob, thank you so much for calling WEEI. You're on Red Sox Review.
Hi, KJ. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for asking, my man.
I want to correct some misinformation that was mentioned this morning on your station about the last time that the Red Sox won a game when Tanner Houck was pitching. The moderator said July 16th. Well, guess what, folks? July 16th was the Major League All-Star game.
Ew. Okay, well, I'll leave a note here in the office.
So there was no way that Houck would have been in a game with the Red Sox on July 16th.
He did not commit the murder. That's what you're saying, right? He could not. He has an alibi of where he was on July 16th.
July 16th was the All-Star game, no Red Sox game.
Bob, your thoughts on today's game?
Cora needs to stop using his pen over and over and over again. I've never seen so much use or overuse of relief pitching in my entire life as a Red Sox fan.
Thanks so much for the call. Yeah, I'll get to it. We'll hear from Alex Cora in 2 minutes. I want to get to your calls. I want Alex Cora to be able to get his words out. And then I'm going to take you back to that sequence that had me look right at the television saying, damn, KJ Domus is at it again and doesn't want to be. Let's go to Paul just across the border in New Hampshire. Paul, thank you so much for calling WEEI. You're on Red Sox Review.
Hey, KJ, how are you today?
Excellent, Paul. Thank you so much for asking, my man.
You know, I put the blame today on they were up 6-4, first and second, nobody out. Why aren't they pushing along, playing a little bit of small ball? I blame this on Alex Cora. I know the bullpen, you've got some bullpen issues, I do too, but I just see some blemishes there. When's the last time you saw a sacrifice bunt from the Red Sox?
Well, you know, it'd probably either come from Hamilton or Duran, and Duran's not so much of a bunter. So it's really, where's that skill set that you've seen it laid down by anybody? I guess it goes to the fundamental arguments that we've been having here today. I appreciate the call, Paul. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think because of where the Red Sox are right now, and you have to know that 6'4 isn't enough. This is what I was saying in the last break. Tristan Casas had to know that 4-0 may not be enough with the bullpen, right? There are no guys taking off their Cooperstown jackets after having a conversation with Joe up in the booth that are going to come down and give you 4 or 5 outs on the just on the privy. It's not going to happen. You know it's going to be a tough battle. But this is where I disagree with Paul a bit, is you would have to go to a bullpen when you see, and this is where a good manager feels, you have to have that feeling of, this could potentially go wrong. Here's Alex Cora, and then I'll give you my thoughts right after.
How tough was this one just with Tanner up for him?
They're all tough, we walk a few people, didn't play great defensively and gave them a lot of chances. So, they're really good at what they do. Suarez, he was a monster the whole weekend. Two homers, the double off the wall, pull hitter in this place and got a few pitches close to him and hit it in the air. I mean, he'll let you know, right? I mean, he was erratic today. But in a game that we needed him to go deep, he went 6. We got a doubleheader tomorrow. We don't have an off day, so he's been our guy, so you got to stick with him.
With the bases loaded there, is that, for Tristan, is that the right play just to go to first?
Yeah.
And then the O'Neill throw, you feel like you left, too much traffic out there with any decisions defensively in that inning?
What do you mean the O'Neill throw?
It's like letting the guy advance.
I mean, he's trying to throw out the guy at the plate. He overthrew the cutoff guy, but I think, the intention was to get the guy at third base, He's right there, He makes that throw 9 out of 10 times.
Have you seen him as this base running part?
Just being aggressive. It took 2 perfect throws to get him out, but we don't mind being aggressive.
You look at this series, is it more a product of them being a really good team or the way that you feel like you guys play?
I mean, we've been playing a lot of good teams, so, when we beat good teams, over the week, we went to Baltimore, split with them, we went to Houston, we won the series. They played better than us in this one.
Did Duran tweak his ankle?
I'll get it checked. I didn't see it. I'll check what's going on.
You have a starting pitcher for game 1 tomorrow?
No, yeah, we're going to sit down and talk about it. Yeah.
I know we talk about milestones with Rafi all the time, but the significance of 200 homers?
Just consistency. Look, his age and what he's done in this ballpark, right? He's really good at what he does, to go straight center on that pitch, that's impressive.
We appreciate it. With the history of Red Sox, only 11 guys. Is the 11th guy to do that?
Like I said, he's been really good since they call him up in 17. His first homer was in Seattle, straight center. I've seen a lot of them, and I'm very proud of that. And this is a guy that, regardless of circumstances, right, the last 2 years, being in last place and, with the elbow in 21 and, the quad, I think, in 18 at one point, right? He posts, he plays. You see him right now doing the things that he's doing. He's putting one of his best offensive seasons in his career, and there's more.
Just kind of big picture, after we called it a great road trip and a 4-3, how frustrating is it to come home? And
we lost 3 games, bro. We got to show up tomorrow. We got 2. So we got to turn the page, just like we've been doing the whole season, and be ready for tomorrow.
That's Alex Cora. Defending Casas, yeah, right, because I think it's one of those situations like, all right, do you really believe 4-0 is going to hold at this point, considering you have bases loaded in front of you with no outs? That's number one. 2, Tanner Houck started at the top of the 5th, only throwing 48 pitches. I was thinking, this is absolutely astonishing. By the end of the inning, 75. next. I this is where I've got to pick the bone with Alex Cora. Red Sox Review, WEEI, continues next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KJ Carson here on WEEI Red Sox Review, getting some final thoughts in here because I've got some thoughts that are pretty final. So if you're just joining, I've been telling the story of what happened in the game and how fundamentals mess things up to start the top of the fifth. Cassis, with bases loaded, gets an easy ground ball directly at him. Not a shot, not something he's got to dive for and crawl to get the first to at least get an out. Like something like, hey, bro, like you're looking right at home. Try and get the double play. Get the one run. Okay, it was 4-1. We want to make sure we get the out, but it's second and third, and you just saw what happened, that by the end of that inning, there's a base hit by McCarthy. The game goes to 4-3. At the top of the fifth inning, start of that inning, Tanner Houck had only thrown 48 pitches. By the time he gets out of the inning, he's over 75. The immediate thing I wrote down was this. Get somebody up in the bullpen throwing. It didn't happen. But KJ Domus saw what was coming. So it gets even worse on top of that. So you actually have time to get a couple of arms going because at the top of the at the bottom of the fifth, you've got two guys on with nobody out after two walks. Cassis pops out, Devers grounds into a double play. Still, I would say, still enough time to get an arm up because you've just seen Tanner Houck nearly double his output from going at the top of the fifth to now when you're about to come into the top of the sixth. What happens? Gives up a single. Gives up a walk to Del Castillo. This is when I screamed at my television. You might have joined me in unison. Why isn't there anybody throwing? Look. As bad as the bullpen has been, and it's been a recurring theme, and sometimes I've made jokes about it, and look, Bernardino was much better than Burner Walker 4, though. Burner Ball 4 yesterday. You have to go with what you have to win today's game. if you're thinking so much about that, you have two games tomorrow. How about you work on winning the one that's in front of you today? It just felt like, we're just going to keep going with him till he gets to the sixth. He's a drowning man, and nobody's there to even, you're not even throwing a lifeline. You didn't even send out a pitching coach to try and slow things down. What happens? Suarez then hits the three-run homer. Now the Red Sox are down 6-4. They'll never catch up again during the game. What happened? Hauk was missing badly. And then finally, when he finally connects across the zone, it's a sweeper that hangs like a towel over a bathroom shower. Just hanging. And this is the issue that I had right there with that decision-making from the manager. Yeah, you've got to play seven, possibly. You got to play at least 16 innings tomorrow. But you're on the verge of being swept. You don't know what's happening out in Kansas City and St. Louis in terms of their games. Now I can tell you what happened. Twins lose 3-2. Royals lose 11-3. So right now, the Red Sox are 4.5 out. Yeah, you got a half game back. And that's because the Twins are the ones that lost. So you would want both of them to lose, so that way everything kind of balanced itself out. It didn't happen. So, yeah, you can't necessarily be scoreboard chasing, but if you had a 4-run lead at the top of the previous inning, and now here you are in the top of the sixth, you gave up 3 runs the last inning, you've got 2 guys on, what may happen? KJ Domus hit. Zach, producer, it does not warm my heart that I was right. That literally Alex Cora had a situation in front of him where, hey, as good as Tanner Hout looked, you do have to remember that he got a lot of double play ground balls, which means that people were already on base earlier. So there was solid contact happening earlier in the game. I had mentioned earlier during the show, during Red Sox review, that the umpire was calling a lot of low strikes. That I think that helped get into those multiple double plays that were happening, but the ball started coming up. If you just heard, Alex Cora in his postgame, you know, said, look, you know, we've beaten good teams. Not at home. This is how bad it is. The Red Sox are now 29-35 at home. That means you've heard Sweet Caroline played more times when there was a loss than during a win. So good. You know who's comparable? The Los Angeles Angels are 27-40 at home, and they are 23 games under 500. Oh, what about against these 500 teams? The Red Sox are 33-47. The Los Angeles Angels are 35-48 against teams over 500. Where's the disconnect? Look, the team is outperforming than I think what people expected. But just like when you were in school, Johnny's probably a C student at best. But let's say Johnny starts rocking B's. You know what they start telling you? You have it in you. Why not put that little extra effort in to get the win? Why not put that little extra effort in to try and make a play at home? You don't trust yourself to throw 90 feet down to the catcher who's got a bunch of equipment and all he has to do is have his pinky toe on the plate, and you got a catcher running from third on the ground ball. But no, you want to settle and get the 1 run and just say, well, it's a 4-1 game. Well, by the time you ran to the dugout, it was a 4-3 game, and you've heard me say, hey, if the game is 8-6, give me the Red Sox. I think that means they've been hitting the ball everywhere. 4-3 game? Oh, boy. What happens an inning later? Red Sox give up 6 runs in the 5th and 6th inning. And pretty much that's all. That's literally all the time at bats needed was the 5th and 6th inning, this whole game. That right there is, I don't know how one can say, oh, yeah, you know, hopefully you can jump on Toronto. Or hopefully these things happen. I mentioned a metric last night that's called the elimination number. And the elimination number is, for those who are familiar with, is how many games are left between the division leader wins and how many you lose. Okay? Going into yesterday, well, with the Red Sox now losing another game after yesterday, so that number's at least at 25. And if the Yankees won, then that number's down to 24. So if the Yankees win 12 games and the Red Sox lose 12 games, there's your 24. They're eliminated from the AL East. I'm not here to tell you that they're going to try and make a run for the AL East. Here's the problem. In the AL Central, the numbers for the Royals and the Twins are like 31 and 32. So in other words, what you're going to see in the AL Central is pretty much a race that's going to go down to the very last day with the two teams that don't win the division. Guess what they'll get? Two of the wild card spots. If they continue to fight. So they still have a reason to play just beyond a wild card, where here you're discussing like, oh man, if we could get one more B on a test. Today was that opportunity. Today was the opportunity to get a better grade on the test than what you've seen. So when Alex Cora says, yeah, we've beaten the great team, yeah, do you still feel as good as you did when they beat Houston 2 out of 3? You still feel as good? It's almost like that's null. Do you still have the tingles from Baltimore? So when you mention those things, you're like, okay, all right, those were great. But even if you had gotten 1 out of 3 in this series, like say today, you could say, bet us that it's this game. Carry that momentum into a team that's last in your division, and try and build off of that. But when I see nobody up there, and I see Hauk is struggling, I mean, he's not even close to the plate, the top of the sixth. He's not close. When he finally gets close, what happens? The ball hits the light tower. That means it was hit hard. You know what I mean, Zach? If you hit that light tower and it bounces back, that's a seed you've hit. That's not a dribble. It's still going up, right? It's the ascension was stopped due to an obstruction. Nobody was warming up. Nobody was throwing in the pen. Nobody came out to talk to Hauk after the base hit. Okay, we saw what happened in the last inning. You've given up a hit right to start the sixth inning. You come in. You have a conversation with them. You slow some things down. It didn't happen. Maybe you're just thinking about like what you got to deal with tomorrow. You know, maybe getting ready for press releases about, you know, Jansen's going to be the first Major League Baseball player to play for two teams in one day. And I'm thinking like, you can't throw to home to try and start the double play. At least start it there. Am I crazy? Start the double play where it prevents the run from scoring, right? Like if there's going to be the out you get, how about this? Go get the one that's closest to home. Jeez. Okay. Look, the Patriots have a very, very important preseason game tonight. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. It's KJ, but now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Diamondbacks 7-5 this afternoon at Fenway Park as Arizona completes the three-game sweep of the Sox. Things looked good early after Rafael Devers launched his 200th career home run to give the Sox a 4-0 lead in the fourth inning. They did, however, receive some help from both the Cardinals and Phillies, who beat Kansas City and Minnesota, meaning the Sox remain just 4.5 games back of the Twins and Royals for the final two wild card spots. They'll welcome the Blue Jays to Fenway Park for a rare five-game series starting tomorrow, with the resumption of the June 26th matchup, which was suspended in the second inning due to rain. Alex Cora said it earlier, right here on Red Sox Review, they've yet to determine a starter for that game. John Lyons will get you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show starting at 1:05. Then Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming will have the call at 2:05. Game 2, Nick Pivetta takes the mound opposite Jose Berrios. John Lyons back with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:10 before Will and Joe take the mic back over. First pitch set for 7:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. KJ just teased it, but the Patriots are down in the nation's capital for their preseason finale versus the Commanders. Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo said earlier this week that all four quarterbacks currently on the roster will play. Kickoff is set for 8 p.m. Make sure you tune in after the game for the Six Rings post-game show with Fitzy and Hart running from the end of that game until 1 a.m. My name is Zach Cohn. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Red Sox review with KJ Carson coming up after this.
WEEI, it's KJ, 617-779-7937, talking Drake May. Gerard Mayo saying he's 100% ready. I don't have another rhyme to go with huddle. A huddle does not rhyme with it. But here's the thing. You're not going to see Jaden Daniels at all tonight because he's already been named week one starter. You're not going to see Caleb Williams, and he's already named week one starter. But I think Williams, Daniels, Drake May are always going to be tied to the hip. And watch this. I think at the end of it all, Drake May is going to be the most productive of the three. I'm not just saying that just to say that. I'm just saying this to say this. Once you put people into a fire and they start scrambling, you're seeing a little bit from Caleb Williams, and you just don't know what you're going to get with the Commanders because it's the Commanders. Sometimes you can never get it back. Robert Griffin III never got it back. He captured time in a bottle for there for a second, never got it back. Why? Because there was a demand that you need to be out there right away. Drake May, I personally think he should be getting 40% of the snaps tonight. If you think different, feel free to call 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Because here's the thing. If you know that Jacoby Brissett is going to be your week one QB, then I'm going to use a college football term. Let this be Drake May's week zero. Let this be his week zero. Like, as you saw from Trey Lance, that was really a week zero performance yesterday. But you probably almost need to give Drake May that type of run. So that way you can say, all right, this is live action. This is more action. You'll see multiple packages. You'll be able to see scripted plays, what maybe the what your first 25 would be. I think it's one of those situations where you just can't say, we're just going to keep you on the shelf because this is going to be your last real chance at real live action if Brissett's going to be the guy. I don't think May should play less than 40% of the snaps tonight. And I honestly would like to see him, if not start, I can live with that, but Brissett maybe two drives, get him out. Look good, look bad, does not matter. Then Milton and Zappe, you probably comply somewhere. You figure out a combination of them, between 20 and 30%, somewhere around there. Because I think with Bailey Zappe, you're gonna have to figure out like, okay, do we need to hire the crash test though? Do we need to keep him for a crash test dummy, or do you say, hey, what we see from watch this, they're 40% from Drake May, you can get some stuff done. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Continue the Patriots conversation here in about 3 minutes. Let's go to Steve in Medford. Steve, thanks so much for calling WEEI. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? I want to talk about Alex Cora, and when are we ready to have the conversation that this guy just isn't that good? We finished last place 2 years in a row, and the guy gets an extension, and everybody's excited. He makes brain-scratching calls with the bullpen almost every single day, and I'm sick of it.
So, Steven, let me ask you, what would be harder to replace, the manager for the Red Sox or the players on the Red Sox?
Well, the players aren't the issue. I mean, Jason Veritek would be fine.
So you think that players would be better just because Veritek was the manager?
He would make better calls with the bullpen.
Yeah, so the bullpen would be better if Veritek was in charge. Same players, right? We're not changing players. Same players out there.
Yes.
All right, thanks for the call.
Exactly, but it's 3 years in a row.
Yeah, part of it is the Heim Bloom experiment. It's kind of crazy, like his Matt Strom, right? Like he was like, "Oh my gosh. This guy's got better hair than he does a curve." Now the dude's like everything with the Phillies. Roger in Boylston, thanks so much for calling WEEI. You are on the air.
Yes. Thanks. You've got a fantastic show.
Thank you.
I'm talking about the catcher.
All right. Okay. We got a guy there that can't catch a ball in the dirt, doesn't hit his target at second base, and they're afraid to throw home to him because they're afraid he's not going to catch the ball. I think we need a catcher that can do all of that.
Thanks for the call, Roger. I do want to touch upon that because it gives me a perspective that I've been tough on Cassis, right? We'll get back to the Patriots pregame against Washington here in several moments. Does Cassis hesitate because of the, I'm going to call it, three pass balls that Connor Wong had yesterday? Like, keep in mind, and I will give Cassis the benefit of the doubt, because it's such a bang-bang play, it isn't going to be the perfect ball to the chest. But if it's slightly outside, is there a feeling like it might just go off like an ice cream cone on Connor Wong's glove? I say you still have to make that play because Connor Wong is on this team to make that play. If he doesn't make the play, it's not on Cassis. What do you say? Oh, why did he throw it to home? Because there was a force at home. If you don't take the force at home, the run scores. If you're up 6-0, I say, okay, go ahead and tap first. But watch this. Let's just say the team gets the bases loaded and they hit one over the park fence. It becomes a tied game. Well, guess what happened? They gave up three in that inning, and then the next inning, someone hit it over that park fence with two other guys on. So it was worse. So I can agree a bit with Rogers' thoughts in terms of, is there kind of a hesitance to throw it to Connor Wong after you've seen this guy let three pass balls go by? I think one of them was declared a wild pitch, but it's like, look, when you throw a splitter, you know what could happen? It could go on the ground. You got to be ready for that. You can't block it backhanded. Like, that's just like, and you hear players talk, former players talk about this. I think it was Euculus a couple days ago. It's like, look, players are not really being given the fundamentals they're expected to kind of know them and just be plug and play ready. But I think there's some basic things, and maybe this happens when, hey man, the kid can mash and he's willing to catch. Well, then if that ability to mash isn't as great as the ability to stop a ball from getting passed or potentially from not being thrown the ball on a forced to home attempt at a double play, thinking like, okay, I might be able to get it to them, but getting it back to me may not be as clean. Maybe that's why Kyle Telus already had AAA. I don't know. I'm not privy to these conversations or these insights, nor will I ever be. But just from an eye, if I can write in my notes like, hey, and this is going back to the previous caller who was calling out Cora about managing the pitching staff. I'm not going to say you're absolutely wrong. Here's where I will agree is, hey, Veritek as a catcher would probably have that same feeling that I had. You know, hey, this guy just threw, when he came into the top of the fifth, he had thrown 48 pitches. By the time he gets out of the top of the fifth and we're heading to the bottom of, he's now at 75 pitches. I don't think this is going to go well. Yes, that's one of those situations where going to the bullpen. Now, the argument that I make is, how quality is the middle relief here? You know, you've got a couple. Kelly's all right for you. You'll see what you get back from when Liam Hendricks gets back. So you got to work with what you got in front of you. And I don't know if a better manager is going to get more out of this team than finding better pieces for the team with a good manager. I think that's just where it is. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJ here on WEEI going up until 6 o'clock. Don't forget, tonight after the Patriots game, it's the return of the Six Rings podcast. I'm just kind of busting here. You probably would have to do like a word. I would love for someone to take a word count machine and find out how many words are said between Fitzy and Hart. There's going to be a lot of words. You know, the word salad. This might be a word salad buffet, but Six Rings postgame, where clearly the conversation is going to be centered around how much of May did you get? How much you did not get? Did Jacoby Brissett even look like an opening day starter? I think these are all the things that you'll have to discuss after tonight's game. So literally the Patriots have more questions that need to be answered with this game because there's going to be a 2-week layoff. And look, if you're Gerard Mayo, you could probably tell yourself, if I see a very positive performance from Drake May, I can kind of keep his reps at somewhere at about that 40% where Brissett gets 60, he gets 40, and then make a final decision a couple nights before, so that way our opening game, the opening week opponent in Cincinnati on the road, won't know who to put all their game planning and their preparation towards. So you still have kind of that card you could play when you know that your team, that Vegas thinks that you might win four games. Like any little foot up, foot on the rope, tag team help, chair under the ring, whatever you can do to potentially get yourself closer to a chance at victory, this might be one of those things is where you still continue to hold to the vest. Who's really going to be your week one starter? But I think you have to play Drake May no less than 40% of the snaps tonight. And they can't be towards the end of the game. So you might say, hey, Brissett goes in there second, well, then it becomes a story, right? If Drake May starts the game off and Brissett gets in there with the second team. But I think at this point, the way Jacoby Brissett has looked with the first team, going against these other teams' first and a half defenses, if you will. I call them one and a half because all your ones are not there. It's like some twos mixed in there. Jacoby Brissett's been looking like the backup. Not that Drake May's done anything super fantabulous. And I still think the best plan of action is to say, you know what, let's kind of slow walk this a little bit because of other things that are going on. But I would rather have a slow walk situation with Drake May instead of figuring like, okay, the Bears, who has spent everything, right? Like, this is what some Patriots would want. Like, hey, if you get this quarterback, go get the weapons. Look at, like, try and get a Keenan Allen or something like that. Go, you know, you've got a decent, you had a decent tight end here in Hunter Henry. Maybe you build on that. Can you go get something? You know, but it would have to be a lot of quick slants to save that quarterback. So Drake May, Caleb Williams, and Jayden Daniels are always going to be tied to the hip. They're always going to be tied to the hip. And there's this understanding that, like, well, Drake May is a project. And that could be kind of an offensive term. But I would rather there be careful steps being taken with Drake May becoming the quarterback of the team and being able to not see the game speed so fast. You hear all the jokes coming out of Jacksonville about, like, my gosh, look how proficient Mac Jones was in preseason. I would say that would probably be the time of season that Mac Jones is the most proficient. Put like real fans in there and real noise, you know. I mean, hell, don't even put Mac Jones in a game overseas. So, yeah, Mac Jones is going to look really good, and I'm not one of those that's taking the bait of saying, oh, if you just work with the guy, look what he's doing. Yeah, man, wait until you get to game time. When suddenly, you know, I don't know, the defensive linemen stand up and Mac Jones calls a timeout because he's never seen that before. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so you don't want Drake May to find himself in a potential mental quandary if he gets out there too soon, where, yes, the skills are better than Mac Jones, but the mentality may be close to the same, right? It's like, okay, so if he gets out there and he kind of like loses his marbles like Mac Jones, so he doesn't throw a floater. It's just it's a nice solid throw to the defensive back versus kind of like a floater. You know, so that's the other part is, if you want this team to be able to move forward, you have to be cautious about some things. I know it's not a popular thought, but I would say make this Drake May's week zero. Just don't be Florida State about it, you know. I think the defense is fine. I just think what you have at offense, and I'm so tempted not to say the term offensive line, because talking about linemen is the most boring thing in the world. It's almost talking about like how you effectively get a crochet pattern done on canvas. Like that's what talking about offensive linemen for me is like. It's like paint drying. But the truth is, I believe that Drake May in 3 years will have the better conversation about him in the league than Daniels or Caleb Williams will. What's to say that Caleb Williams isn't the next Justin Fields? Right? As people laughed at me, were like, oh, no. Justin, look what he's doing with his legs. Like, dude did not do that at Ohio State. He is running for his life. You're already seeing some of those elements from Caleb Williams. Everybody can't do the Mahomes. Like, here's the crazy thing. You know, Mahomes is the prototype. Well, guess what? Mahomes sat behind an all-pro quarterback that first year. Now, that's not the case here. But at least he was able to see what successes look like and what some mini failures could look like. He just, you know, and given he's got Andy Reid as his head coach. So you've got the offensive guru. You've got the master of the system. If you want proof positive of it, I mean, $5. Not, I'm betting you. $5. Tell me where Eric Bieniemy is now. Right? Do you know the answer to that, Zach? Real quick, where's Eric Bieniemy now?
I don't know anymore.
He's at UCLA. He's the offensive coordinator at UCLA. So the same guy who was supposed to be, this guy should be a head coach of the league. Look what he's done with Patrick Mahomes. Was in Washington. Didn't work out. Now he's at UCLA. Nobody screaming UCLA quarterback you. Just go hang out in LA for a little bit, man. Just chill. So when you've got Andy Reid overseeing what you're doing, your growth spurt is going to look a little different than others. It'll be interesting what the Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert situation looks like over time. Could they mesh? I think they will. And maybe ultimately the situation with Drake May is going to be, okay, next year, do you get him like a quarterback guru as part of the coaching staff? Because that's the problem that was the problem with Mac Jones, right? He had Josh McDaniels the 1 year. He had virtually nobody else really to kind of steer him the right way the following years. I think if Bill O'Brien was able to get here a season earlier, I think you probably would have seen a better progression. I think that would have happened with Mac Jones. But still, it comes down to what's going on in between your ears as 11 men are running rampant at you and 70,000 people are screaming, whether they're screaming for you or against you. Let Drake May go through that tonight in Washington, on the road. You know, it isn't even going to be a full capacity situation. I'm sure DC fans want to probably see Jaden Daniels, but they've already named that he's going to be the week one starter, so they're not going to see him anymore. So it'll be a reduced situation. Now, I would be careful. That is a very bad surface there at FedEx Field. Just because a bad owner is gone doesn't mean the bad surface is gone. Adrian Peterson took a nasty spill there. The aforementioned Alex Smith as well. So there's where a little bit of caution would exist, is the quality of the field. But I think you let Drake May probably go for 40% of the snaps if you feel comfortable doing it, because this is your last chance to see him in live action when you really have a live decision to make for opening week, for week one. 617-779-7937, text line. We'll get to those next here on WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out. Thank you so much for hanging out on WEEI. It's KJ, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We'll get your messages shortly. You missed any of the show, Red Sox Review, it's replayable. Just go to the Odyssey app. It's free. Type in WEEI. It brings you right there. And if you actually click it, it'll give you a little heart. It will fill up in white. So that way, next time when you come, it's set there right for you to come right to the station. I'm going to replay Alex Cora's post game here in about 3 minutes, because it just unfathomable what happened today, both from a disciplinary standpoint in terms of decision making in the field. I'm talking about Cass's failing to throw to home on the start of the double play, or in at least attempt to double play instead of just taking the single out at first. I think that's a great idea if you're up 6-1. If you're up 6-0, yes, great. But if it's 4-0 and the bases are loaded, and you know how your middle relief looks, guess what happens in 2 innings? So that was brought, he'll get into that as well. And Tanner Houck was under 50 pitches at the start of the 5th inning, and by the 5th inning was over, where the game had started at 4-0 at the top of the 5th. By the bottom of the 5th, when it was over, he had thrown over 70. He was out and out 75 pitches, and the score was 4-3. And as you got to the bottom of the 5th, and you get a couple of men on, there's nobody getting ready in the bullpen. There's nobody. So when you get to the top of the 6th, he gives up a hit immediately. Houck does. Nobody comes out to talk to Houck. There's still nobody in the bullpen. Houck gives up a walk, misses every single thing. It wasn't even close. Still, nobody comes out to the mound. Now you've got 2 men on. You're up by 1. If you saw what happened, you know what happens next. So I really take kind of issue with Cora and some of that bullpen decision making, as well as what was going on in the field. We'll hear from Cora here in a couple of minutes. Look, this wild card situation, I think, is starting to get out of hand. Early in the show, I mentioned this elimination number that goes on with you inside of your division. And so the Red Sox started today at 26, but with the Yankees winning and the Red Sox losing, that number is going to drop down to 24. Now, I'm not here to tell you that the Red Sox have a chance to win the AL East. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm saying is when Baltimore's elimination number is 32, the Royals' elimination number is 32, Minnesota's elimination number is 32, that means they are virtually going to be playing in every game leading up to probably the last week to determine who's going to win their division, and just by proxy, because everybody's going to be so close, whoever doesn't win the AL East or AL Central, those are going to be your three wild cards. So it could be Baltimore or the Yankees, or it could be Cleveland, Kansas City, or Minnesota. All right there. That's why I'm concerned about the Red Sox, because they're the ones on the outside barely being able to look in because of the way the AL Central's been playing. So you'll hear this conversation like, well, what are the Twins doing, or what are the Royals doing? Look, their elimination number just for their AL Central title is 32. I think there's only 34 games left in the season. So there's no way, unless Kansas City and the Twins absolutely just fall off of a cliff, Baltimore falls off of a cliff, and the Red Sox suddenly become the 1917, oh, let me stop that, the 2018 Red Sox. You know, they suddenly just come dominant. I just don't see that happening. The pitching is still having an issue getting through six. Like I said, that was what Towner Houck had going into the fifth inning. You're like, hey, without even throwing 50 pitches, this guy presumptively could get to the eighth inning and not be at 100 pitches. Didn't happen that way. Here's Alex Cora.
How tough was this one for Tanner up for
there? They're all tough. We walk a few people, didn't play great defensively, and giving a lot of chances. So, you know, they're really good at what they do. Suarez, he was a monster the whole weekend. You know, two homers, the double off the wall, you know, pull hitter in this place, and got a few pitches close to him and you know, hit it in the air.
Obviously, how can those two walks in the fifth inning, just, you know, first two got huge. How do you think he pitched
over? He'll let you know, right? I mean, he was erratic today. But, you know, in a game that we needed him to go deep, he went six. We got a doubleheader tomorrow. We don't have an off day, so he's been our guy, so you got to stick with him.
With the bases loaded there, is that, for Tristan, is that the right play, just to go to first?
Yeah.
And then the O'Neill throw, like, you feel like you left, you know, too much traffic out there with any decisions defensively in that end?
What do you mean, the O'Neill throw?
It's like letting the guy advance.
I mean, he's trying to throw out the guy at the plate. He overthrew the cutoff guy, but I think, you know, the intention was to get the guy at third base, you know. It's right there, you know. He makes that throw 9 out of 10 times.
Have you seen the Mets' base running part?
Just being aggressive. You know, it took two perfect throws to get him out, but we don't mind being aggressive.
You look at this series, is it more a product of them being a really good team or the way that you feel like you guys play?
I mean, we've been playing a lot of good teams, so, you know, and we beat good teams, you know, over the week. We went to Baltimore, split with them. We went to Houston. We won the series. They played better than us in this one.
Did Duran tweak his ankle?
I'll get it checked. I didn't see it. I'll check what's going on.
Do you have a starting pitcher for game on tomorrow?
No, yeah, we're going to sit down and talk about it. Yeah.
I know we talk about milestones with Rafi all the time, but the significance of 200 homers?
Just consistency. Look, his age and what he's done in this ballpark, right? He's really good at what he does, you know. To go straight center on that pitch, that's impressive.
We appreciate it. With the history of the Red Sox, only 11 guys. He's the 11th guy to do that.
Like I said, he's been really good since they call him up in 17. His first homer was in Seattle, straight center. I've seen a lot of them, you know, and I'm very proud of that. And this is a guy that, regardless of circumstances, right, the last 2 years, being in last place and, you know, with the elbow in 21 and, you know, the quad, I think, in 18 at one point, right? He posts, he plays. You see him right now doing the things that he's doing. He's putting one of his best offensive seasons in his career, and, you know, there's more. There's more.
Just kind of big picture after we called it a great road trip and a 4-3, how frustrating is it to come home?
We lost 3 games, bro. We got to show up tomorrow. We got 2. So we got to turn the page just like we've been doing the whole season and be ready for tomorrow.
Yeah, we lost 3 games, bro. Let's go to Larry and Dedham. Thank you so much for calling WEEI. 30 seconds.
Yes, KJ. I'm just wondering why Casas didn't throw home. Did anyone ask him?
Yeah, I didn't get that answer, but I think thanks so much for the call. I think Alex Cora defended him, but I think there's got to be a conversation. Like, you've got to have that confidence to throw the ball. You did not have any obstruction. You were not on the ground. You did not have to make a spectacular catch. It was straight to you, and you were facing home plate. You've got to go home. All right, let's go to Mike at Plymouth. Mike, thanks for the call. You're on WEEI.
Hey, what's going on? I got to say, you know, each year you're looking at whichever series is going to be the nail in the coffin, and it just feels that way now. We're waiting whether it was going to be that, you know, last-minute loss to Texas, whether it was going to be that first loss in Houston and that turned into a sweep. It's just starting to feel like when we look back on this season, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, it's going to be this weekend series against the Diamondbacks. That was the final nail in the coffin. We're all done, man.
Mike, thanks for the call. 2 days ago, Sox had a 40% chance. Day after that, 34%. Yesterday, 30. Going into today, 17% chance of getting to the playoffs. Well, with that being said, thank you so much for listening here over the last 2 hours. Yes, turn that up. Turn that up, Zach. Give the people what they want. They want KJ. We want KJ. Give the people what they want. That's the truth and honesty. Missed any of the show. The Odyssey app is free, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago. Thank you so much, Zach Coe, for your work. At WEEI.com. And, of course, at WEEI on Twitter. Six rings podcast. It's the podcast. 6 rings post game tonight after Patriots Commanders. Have a great Sunday evening. See ya.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive through and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.